Follow the money.
That's what I always say. You always follow the money.
Yeah, yeah.
This is Follow the Money with Mitch Moss and Polly Howard on VSiN.
One more day, you're stuck with me. Mitch and Polly still on vacation, but they return tomorrow. Stormy Bonantoni, Dustin Sweetelson in for the guys today. What's up, buddy?
It's a reunion.
I know.
Do you remember the first show I ever hosted here was with you, Follow the Money in the morning slot,
yes.
Because someone, we won't name them, was not able to make it in at 3:30 in the morning. There was no one awake to call to figure out who would be
yes.
the replacement. And you were like, what do we do? And I was like, I guess I'll throw a jacket on and sit at the desk with you. And that started this whole thing.
I was also still relatively new at the time too. And already filling in for a 3-hour show at that time of day was like not something I had done. And you saved my tail. Like, I tell everybody, that is a memory that will stick with me for life.
Well, I think people don't really process it when you tell them. It was a show that started at 4 a.m.
Yeah.
local time. It was an East Coast morning show. Obviously, Mitch and Paul now, you see the color back in their face. There's no more bags under their eyes.
They seem a lot happier as people, I've noticed.
Yeah, they're back in the afternoon. So I'm kind of like, I'm not quite that shift on cashing out late at night, but it is weird to be here when the sun's still out.
Yes.
I will tell you that.
And I do appreciate you, by the way, doing the late night and then still making the turnaround to be with us here in the afternoon. Appreciate you. We're going to have a lot of fun. We have a jam-packed 3 hours ahead. The pizzeria is open, so make sure you send in some of your plus money pizza money bets. Have a little bit of fun there. Our MLB previews will continue. We've got live hockey going on right now in the Olympics with Team USA and Sweden. Tied scoreless through the first period, by the way.
Yeah, I'm looking at this puck line. Now, I won't bet it because these colors don't run, Stormy. But Sweden +1.5, -120, I think it was +$1.20 last night. It feels like we're going to have a one goal game, right? Yeah. Doesn't it feel like that?
That was one of the sides that I, at the end of the show, and I do want to say this, I feel a little bit vindicated for the way that Follow the Money ended yesterday. We finish our in-pocket plays. JVT is giving me grief for how much I wanted to talk about hockey throughout the course of the show. And I was like, well, hey, all of the quarterfinal lines are officially out. Let's just like cruise through them really fast the last couple minutes. 3 for 3 on the like leans we had for the first couple games, and Sweden +1.5 was another angle here against Team USA. So we'll see if they can get there. Obviously, like we said, scoreless game so far. Here is what trips me up about Sweden, though. And this has been a problem for them throughout the course of everything Olympic hockey that we've seen so far. It seemed like maybe they had figured things out the final game of the preliminary round and in the qualification. And yet their coach is doing weird stuff with his lineup again here just one period in. We saw 6-time Norris Trophy finalist Victor Hedman not play a single shift in the first period. Make it make sense.
Well, I should note, I did get the mandate. JVT reached out to me once he found out I was filling in. He said, I need to remind you, too much hockey sometimes.
Come
we have to reel it back
no.
in.
Look,
here's
no such thing. It's the Olympics.
Well, what did I tell you before the show started? My move now is just pairing every bet I want to do with the Dodgers to win the World Series to pay off in October. Why don't we go USA -315 combined with the Dodgers to win the World Series? We'll see the money in about 6-7 months here. So.
Hey, save the pizzeria plays for a little bit later. Okay. Yeah. I love it. You said pairing everything with the Dodgers, no matter what it is. That's the play.
It's a 401k. you wait 401 months for it to pay out.
We also have the NBA back tomorrow, so we'll look ahead to the second half. Also focusing on a loaded college basketball card, recap some of last night, which we'll get to in a moment. We did see some breaking news, by the way, and we'll recap this game in full. But Texas Tech loses more than just the game yesterday against ASU in the upset. JT Toppin, the news just coming down, torn ACL. He's done for the year for the Red Raiders.
Yeah, I was on the air during that game, and it was very clear a couple things were at play. One, situational spot. Tremendous spot to fade Texas Tech coming off a win against Arizona. The way that went down, a marquee win for a Texas Tech team that in the Big 12 felt like it was flying a bit under the radar. And what's ironic is before that game started, because it started right when my show was hitting the air last night, I said out loud, you know, is Texas Tech a team we want to back in the tournament? Because they may not have the hype of a Kansas with Darren Peterson. They may not have the upside of an Arizona in some people's eyes, but they're going to be battle tested in March. JT Toppin being out for the year, there is a 0.0% chance of them making a run. He is their best rebounder, 11 rebounds per game. If they don't have him on the glass, let alone being their top shot maker, they don't have a chance. Odds went from 22-1 to 50-1 to win it all.
Yeah, that's what I was going to say. He's not just their top rebounder. He's their best player by far. And the combination of he and Christian Anderson, they've been so complimentary. It's been such a fun watch for the most part. And it seemed like they were starting to get into a rhythm coming off the big win against Arizona. And I think naturally people thought that that could be a letdown spot last night. Not on the money line and not losing your best guy.
No. I mean, it was a double whammy. It's kind of like Tony Clark. You don't just lose your job, but you lose your family at the same time. We'll get to that later on in the show. But unfortunately for Texas Tech, they lose the game to Arizona State and they lose their best player. And then on the other side for the Sun Devils, a lot of chatter about the future of Bobby Hurley as their head coach. Did he maybe get himself off the hot seat a little bit? It's a tough place to win. You know, I'm just regurgitating what other people say. I don't know why it's a tough place to win. Every time I see pictures of people on that campus, it looks like it's out of a magazine. Yeah. So I don't know why it's a tough place to win.
The pretty girls make all the boys want to go there. That's what everybody says.
Then why don't the good players go there?
By the way, though, the upset for ASU happened in football and college basketball.
Oh,
huge,
that's a good call.
Texas Tech.
That is a good call. Yeah, the Big 12.
I know. The Big 12 has been fun, man.
Big 12. Look, everyone thought they're losing Oklahoma and Texas. What's the Big 12 going to be? You know what they are? Way more fun. Mom and dad left. There's a babysitter watching and they're just running amok.
Another fun one in the Big 12 later on that we will preview as well. BYU and Arizona going head to head today. Let's throw up the graphic, though, for all the guests that we have coming on deck today here on Follow the Money as well. Excited to get Jeff Seeley on the program, golf handicapper, talk through the Genesis Invitational. Also, yes, a little Tiger Woods with a comment that he had on the podium yesterday. What we're going to see at Riviera. Mike Palm, the maestro in studio, as he usually is. He's got a commitment later on this afternoon, so we're only going to get him for one segment, unfortunately, but very excited to get his opinion on all of the hockey, especially the gold medal game we have coming up with the women, the reaction to what has been already two overtime games on the men's side earlier today, Canada getting pushed to the brink by Czechia. We'll talk more about that as well with John Forslund, NHL play-by-play man, does a great job as the voice of the Seattle Kraken, the NHL on TNT, also the Prime package on Amazon. So can we go to that hockey game real quickly from just a little while ago? And Canada and Czechia, absolutely, like, insanity through and through.
What was going on with Canada? Like, were they playing with their food? Were they looking ahead? Because they were down late in that game and had to will themselves back to a victory. And by the way, it's Czechia now. It's not Czech Republic. I'm not big on world politics, but pretty sure Czechia was like where the guys were from.
They say both.
In the TV show Barry. I'm pretty sure they were all from Czechia. And I thought it was two different countries. I had no idea until just now.
Czechia and Czech Republic, I hear, are both cool. Like, that's what everyone, you know, is using right now. It's okay. Czechia that is not what it is.
Oh, that's not the same thing.
Well, I think people pronounce it that way, but it's not pronounced that way.
Oh, Czechia is a totally different country.
I don't know if that's true or not. Oh, is it?
I don't know. I thought it was Czechia.
I just know people are calling Czechia Czechia, and that's not right.
I've been calling it Czechia
Okay, get you off that part of it. However, Canada, for inquiring minds, top seed in this whole bad boy. They were a massive, like more than 1,000 favorite on the money line to beat Czechia earlier today. Is Mitch Marner ultimately at the end in overtime that closes this thing out? They were down 2-1 after the first period, and that's got everybody freaking out. They were laying 3.5 on the puck line. What is this? What I would say this is, and you can correct me if I'm wrong, or maybe we can talk about this with Mike and John later, is this was a good wake-up call, I think, for Team Canada. And maybe this is the adversity they needed to then put it into high gear moving forward. However, and I mean, John Cooper, when he was asked after the game, like what his message was to the group when they were trailing, he said, don't let this be Sidney Crosby's last game for Team Canada. And Crosby was hurt in the second period of this thing. They end up coming back. So the status of Crosby is something that worries me a little bit. We still have some other players trying to figure out health-wise what that's going to look like. So that's a little bit of a concern, but I think this was probably the adversity Canada needed that they didn't have yet to this point and could maybe really take off.
And I saw they were live plus 260 at one point. You could have gotten them on the money line. Here's what I'd say. Canada has to make a big deal about the Olympics and gold medals because they don't win Stanley Cups anymore. That's why this matters.
That's cold-blooded.
That's why this matters so much to them. Don't let it be Sidney Crosby's last chance here. We need to get him a gold medal because we know the teams from Canada are never bringing a cup back that side of the border. That is the problem for Canada. That's why it means so much. And that's why for the U.S., when we get our shot at them eventually, after we take care of Sweden, we get to chant we're number two. When you get to be number two, you get to play loose and free. There's no pressure. And I think maybe today that might have been the pressure Canada's feeling of being that big favorite in this spot, the team that's expected to win. The U.S. may be a little cocky. They may be a little bit overzealous. But you know what they get to be? Free and loose because they're not expected to actually win.
Well, they need to win here first. And we are still scoreless. True. We got 15 minutes to go in the second period. So we are officially underway here in the second. But this is a huge game because Sweden, I mean, USA caught a bad draw with this one. Sweden was one of the predicted top four teams in the tournament. They were the favorite to win Group B, obviously didn't. That goes to Slovakia. So they end up falling all the way to the seven seed because of goal differential in this thing. So a really tough draw for Team USA to even be in this spot, to have to face them. Scoreless right now. Worth noting as well, once this result is in, we will reseed for the semifinals. They don't do that into the quarters, but they want to make sure that the top seeds that are remaining are playing the easiest seeds remaining for those semifinal games. The other results earlier today, another overtime game in addition to Canada and Czechia, Finland and Sweden, and Switzerland, excuse me. The Swiss go up 2-0 in the first. It's a scoreless second. The Finns answer with two goals in the first 7 minutes of the third. So we got a game, folks. Ends up going to overtime where Finland wins. So three unanswered goals for Finland. They ultimately win it. Arturi Lekkonen with the game-winning goal, and that then cashes them. They were the -245 money line favorites in this spot. Switzerland does cash the goal and a half on that side. Slovakia also beat Germany earlier this morning, +105. So a little underdog action, and that one comes through 6-2, dominant win. The total goes over 6.5, and that was another thing too for the Team Canada game. The goal total was sitting at 6.5. There is nothing better for an over 6.5 better out there than when you get a 3-3 game because you know you're going to get it.
By the way, Sweden right now, I still lean Sweden +1.5 in game. One book I'm looking at is 1.5 -185. Another one's +1.5 -145. So make sure you're finding a good number out there. -145, totally palatable.
That's a great note. These numbers have been all over the place. So this is one of those times where you want to make sure that you have the multiple app options. You're looking at all the numbers that are available because they differ significantly by book. Okay, we talked a lot about hockey. I'll give you a break for a little bit. Let's get into some college hoops when we return. A lot of nationally ranked teams going down yesterday. Will that continue into today's card? We'll hit it all coming up on Follow the Money.
So you're listening to this podcast because you want an edge. But what if I told you you're only halfway there? You've got the mindset. Now it's time to get the toolkit to match. Here's the thing. Pro bettors spend thousands on data and tools, but what they don't want you to know is you can get the same edge for a fraction of the cost with VSiN Pro. With VSiN Pro, you get access to expert picks, public betting data, prop projections, powerful tools, analytics, and more. Tap the link in the description and see why thousands of bettors are already using VSiN Pro to cash more bets.
This is Follow the Money on VSiN.
Heck of a day yesterday in college hoops. 7 nationally ranked teams go down, 6 of them to unranked opponents as we welcome you back here to Follow the Money. Stormy Bonantoni, Dustin Sweetelson in for the guys. We're live as always in downtown Las Vegas, Circa Resort and Casino. Of course, the bell of the ball yesterday was Michigan and Purdue, No. 1 versus No. 7. Never really in doubt for Michigan here, who ends up winning this on the road 91-80. They were up 16 at the break and close out the win by 11.
Yeah, I went Michigan money line. I'm watching the game. I'm like, man, what a punk move. I should have just laid the points. Like, what? You just, as much as like you want to get into the X's and O's, and I know a lot of people were saying this was a look ahead spot for Michigan because they have Duke coming up, and don't get it twisted. Saturday against Duke, one seed overall in the tournament's potentially on the line. Although I don't think it 100% is, because if Duke somehow doesn't win the ACC, I don't know how that doesn't happen, but if they don't win the ACC, I think there's a world where Michigan ends up still being the one seed here. But it was also a look-ahead spot for Purdue. They had to avenge their loss to Indiana, their in-state rival, coming up this weekend. I didn't think enough was made about that aspect of this game. And then ultimately, it just comes down to two things. One, it's Matt Painter in a big game against Dusty May. So Dusty May, clear advantage. And while Purdue has everything on paper, they have veteran guard play, they can shoot the three ball, they have all of the pieces you're looking for in a true title contender. The issue that they have is they never step up when it matters the most. And on the other side, Michigan can hit you so many different ways. So if you want to play various styles, go ahead and throw it at Dusty May's squad because they're built for anything. They run 7, 8, 9 guys deep that can all score in double figures. They can all do it a variety of ways. And the three was falling last night. And that was the biggest difference maker, is Michigan was the better team beyond the arc.
Big thing you said to me when we were in the commercial break, I was like, okay, what game should we hit on? You go, well, Michigan is inevitable.
It's inevitable.
Like, they just are.
What are they, -120 to make the Final Four, I believe, when I look, something like -115. I don't see how they don't get there. And I think the audience, you know me at this point, I'm not the person looking at chalk. I'd rather go 0 for 100 and bet nothing but 25, 30 to 1, just so that one out of a million shot, I can tell you I'm the smartest guy in the room. I don't see a weakness on Michigan. They're battle tested and they haven't really unveiled Lendenborg that much. They haven't run the offense through him in a few months now. If they ever decide just to let him take over games, I don't know what the matchup is that slows them down, because it opens up avenues to everyone else in their lineup.
Speaking of Yaxel Lendenborg, by the way, he made the comments at the bar, whatever it was that he did about beating that butt for Purdue. Yeah, they delivered, and that's it. Good on them. Go ahead.
They're minus 150 to make the Final Four. I can't like say it's a good bet to lay that number right now. They're only one of two teams you have to lay a price with. Arizona's minus 105. But I don't see how Michigan's not in the Final Four. It's all there.
We had a couple court storms last night as well. We already told you about ASU knocking off number 13 ranked Texas Tech. Also what that cost them. And in case you missed it last segment, we got the news. Their best player, JT Toppin, done for the season with a torn ACL. He went down about 6 minutes to go in the game. And for Texas Tech, not only do you wish you would have seen how the ending of that game could have gone if he was available, but now lost for the season. And you have to imagine any of those tournament hopes that they had are gone.
They were a sneaky, fun, potential Final Four team.
To make a deep run,
With Toppin. I think they were flying a little bit under the radar. They were going to be a fun team to want to back. In fact, I prepped last night on the show, do I want to make the case 22-1 for them to win the title? Just to put that in the back pocket, because you just look at all the teams in the Big 12. They're going to, it's like swinging a baseball or softball bat with a donut. All of a sudden you get to tournament play, you take that donut off, you're taking on teams not as deep, not as loaded, did not spend the same way on the same level of talent that you saw all regular season long. But if JT Toppin's not playing for Texas Tech, at best they might win a game or two in the tournament. They're still a solid roster, but they're not that good. He is a superstar at the collegiate level.
Real quickly, because I just saw this graphic come up on the screen, as we are still scoreless in Team USA against Team Sweden in the quarterfinals of the Olympics. I made the comment on Sweden and their poor deployment of their stars. The graphic on the screen said Victor Hedman was injured in pregame warmups, and they just got the notification in the intermission. So take that for what it's worth. He is out there on the bench. Meanwhile, the other court storm, Rhode Island beats number 18 ranked St. Louis. Billikens dropped their first conference game of the season. Point guard for Rhode Island, Jonah Hilton, hit 9 triples in this game. Also, another game I know that caught your attention, that I'm curious, big picture, your opinion on this team. Nebraska falls at Iowa, and the way that the market was moving, it was toward Iowa at home, and what was a pick 'em game shifted slightly toward the Hawkeyes in this spot. But after a 20-0 start for Nebraska, it's their fourth loss in 6 games. Is this just a product of the Big Ten and how good it is, essentially, or is this slide something to be concerned about with Nebraska big picture?
No, I'm not concerned about Nebraska. I think the biggest thing when you watch Nebraska play is they play together. Like, there's a unique chemistry there that really isn't found in college basketball with so many mercenaries out there right now. But they have guys who've kind of grown up together. You've seen the pictures of Hoiberg and a few of the other guys coming up playing youth basketball as like little kids.
Yeah.
I think that makes a difference. That's why this team can be a little bit more connected when it comes to March. This, to me, is just what you were saying about the Big Ten. The Big Ten's freaking loaded, man. It's also the number 9 team in the country going to Iowa, right, where that crowd, they're all fired up to welcome in a team that's ranked in the top 10. I was on the Iowa money line once this thing got down to a pick 'em, but I liked Iowa laying 1.5. I think it was laying 2 at one point. I like them in this game just because that situation, it's the hype, it's on campus, all of that factors into it. And then I love Fred Hoiberg as a coach, but this Ben McCollum, man, he is someone I would not want to go up against X's and O's wise, because he's going to slow down the game. He's going to force you to play his style of fight, and his guys are built for it as long as Bennett Sturtz is on the floor.
You see what Mick Cronin had going on after the game yesterday?
Mick Cronin sees, he's looking up at God and he's going, I see what you did for Jerome Tang. God, can you please do that for me? Can you please put me out of my misery, but make sure I get paid along the way?
Yeah, don't let this be embarrassing enough to where I don't get the buyout. But here is Mick Cronin following the tough loss yesterday to Michigan State.
What was your thought in the student section chanting Booker's name?
I could give a rat's ass about the other team's student section.
I just meant the overall, the way that you...
I would like to give you a kudos for the worst question I've ever been asked.
Did you like the preparation of
you really think I care about the other
team? No, I don't think you care about the other
team. Are you raising your voice at me?
No, I'm just
Yeah, you are. Come on, dude. Yeah. No reason. Come on. Dude. Yes, you were. Everybody's standing here listening to you. Everybody. This is on camera. They can hear you. Only, I answered the question. I could give a rat's ass about the other team's student section.
We do have video evidence, and to me personally, it didn't seem like he raised his voice, but my goodness.
Someone's a little sensey. Someone's feeling it right now. Mick Cronin wants to be put out of his misery. And like, I want to be put out of my misery because I bought the hype on this team. I thought Donovan Dent coming in, speaking of JT Toppin, teammates at New Mexico. I had New Mexico futures back-to-back years when they were on that team. Let me down every single time at huge odds. But I believed UCLA having an offense this year, they were going to be good. And I think that's what you're hearing out of Mick Cronin. He thought he had a Final Four team. And it's playing out the complete opposite. Every single opportunity, they just look bad as USA's on the board.
I think Dylan Larkin, was that who scored it? I just saw his celly. So we'll see. So USA 1-0, 8:57 to go here in the second period. That's what we need.
These colors don't run. But back to Mick Cronin, very anti-American aspect of what he's doing right there. Trying to limit free speech of that reporter, trying to ask a very good-hearted. There's nothing wrong with the question, by the way. You ask coaches questions all the time. Sometimes it's about the game. Sometimes it's about the atmosphere. Totally fair to ask a coach, did you hear this going down during the game?
Absolutely. So that was a him problem, not a scrum problem. You know what I'm saying? Like that was all Mick
Cronin.
Well,
no, he's picking a fight every press conference now. He has an issue with someone. It's his players. Well, somehow it's never Mick Cronin, by the way.
I was going to say, don't lose 82-59, and then maybe you won't have to be as fired up as you are in the post game.
You know, some people are I'm a big set low expectations guy. Like everyone, I'm the fart joke guy here on the network, but every now and then I go on a heater with Betts and everyone's like, oh, Dustin's not a total moron. He actually might know a thing or two about sports. But because I set the low expectations, it jumps out to you that much more when something positive happens for me. Mick Cronin did a thing where his teams would always perform well when he didn't have as much talent. And then he now has talent. The expectations have shifted and he's not living up to that. And that's why you're hearing the frustration. Here's the key to life, Mick. Set lower expectations.
Boom. Nailed it. So we'll get to the full card of games that we have today because there are a lot of top 25 teams in action today. Most notably among those, speaking of how good the Big 12 is right now, we've got ASU and BYU, two teams that are missing, by the way, two really key players on each side as well, which we will get to. Arkansas, Alabama. But there are also a lot of ranked road teams laying decent numbers against unranked teams who are at home today. And we saw a lot of those teams get upended last night, whether it be covering or just straight up losses. Do we think that is a trend that big picture can continue today?
I think because of where we're at on the calendar, it is. These are kids. These are human beings. We're at the end of the road, especially for the teams that know that they're not on the bubble, that believe they're in. I'm not saying they lose, but what we do here is try to find teams that can cover. And because of that, I don't know if some of these teams are going to go balls to the wall and just finish the job here. So because of that, I do think late in the calendar, they played so much basketball at this point, even though everyone else just got done tuning in like a few weeks ago after the Super Bowl, they've been playing since like November. They're ready for the season to end. And because of that, I do think we've reached that point where some of these dogs could be a little bit more live down the home stretch.
Okay, State, dog to Kansas. UConn laid a really big number against Creighton. We know how they've struggled to cover double digit numbers in the conference. Vanderbilt laying a number at Missouri, Illinois, Gonzaga, St. John's, all these teams in that spot. So we'll preview those a little bit more later. But when we come back to the Golf and Riviera, we go. The Genesis Invitational beginning tomorrow. Jeff Seeley is going to help us preview it all after this.
This is Follow the Money on VSiN.
Oh, it's me.
Back here on Follow the Money. No, I thought you were going to play audio. Oh. Back here on Follow the Money, Stormy Bonantoni, Dustin Sweetelson with you. Back here getting excited for a little bit of golf. And before we welcome in our guest, I did want to play a little sound from a familiar face around the golf circles. Here is Tiger Woods at the podium.
Final thing with you in regards to your recovery. Is the Masters off the table for you?
No.
Simple as that. One word answer. When he speaks, we listen, as do odds makers, because we have a number for Tiger at the Masters, 150-1. They put it up there because they know people will bet on it no matter how out of scope it is. With that, to begin our conversation, very excited to welcome in our good buddy Jeff Seeley here on the Progressive Guest Line. Tiger, of course, out there because of the Genesis Invitational. But what do you make of the comment here right off the top?
I give him about a 70% chance to play. I think there's better than a 50-50 chance. I'd make it 70% chance that he plays, and I'll be looking forward to fading him in every matchup like I did when he came back from his first comeback. So yeah, I hope he plays. It's good for golf.
Yeah, Jeff, let's talk about this for a second, because I've been on this for a while. I'm so over this. Men of a certain age, a little bit older than I, they get so lubed up every time there's whispers of Tiger Woods potentially returning to play, as if he's going to be the guy that he was 25 years ago. Stop trying to recapture your youth. He is not able. He is a tin man right now. He is bolted together by machines. Like, the expectation that you're going to see the Tiger Woods you used to see. It's so sad to watch everyone get all worked up. I don't know how we keep doing this. You're 100% right, Jeff. If he's going to play, you got to find ways to fade him there. But speaking of, it is his event, right? This week coming up, the Genesis, right? Used to be his big event. Talk to me about the course. How does the course shake out? What's the layout like? And what does that do to the golfers you're looking to target?
So, yeah, guys, I mean, it's obviously, we're at Riviera Country Club, legendary, absolute legendary course. One of the quotes courses on tour, not a long course, but really a shot maker's and more of a placement course than a traditional bomb and gouge. Ironically, the correlation, it's funny, depends on who you talk to. Some people think it correlates very well with Augusta. Other people who are super golf nerds might argue the contrary. I tend to think it's probably somewhere between, and I think there definitely is some correlation to people who have had success and here and at Augusta. And I think a lot of it is because if you know how to play the course and you know where you can miss and where you can't at both courses, you can have some success. So, I think it's going to be a fun week, but this is a course where you don't have to necessarily be the biggest bomber. There's a lot of things that you can do, plug in here to win if you know where to miss.
Golf handicapper Jeff Seely joining us here on the Progressive Guest Line, also host of the Cupmaker podcast. To the surprise of no one, Scotty Scheffler is the top of the board as usual, around the 3-1 plus 315 range. He has put himself behind the eight ball early in each of the last two tournaments, but absolutely crushed the field coming back in both. What's the expectation for him this time around?
Yeah, so honestly, I've bet him at the end of the first round in both events so far. I've finished to play top 10. I even put a little bit on the outright. I think it's a great way to do it. I'm not going to play him this week on the outright market. I'm going to play the winner without along the board, because I think Scotty can certainly win. But if he does fall back again and get off to a slow start, then I'll be looking to play him again top 10, because I think we see it time and time again. If I can get plus 150 or two, so I'm definitely going to be back on Scotty.
Talk to me about the board, because as much as we want to talk bombs, we'll get there in a second. The bombs are the fun things to do with the golf tournament, but you know this, doing this every single week, you still have to find those moderate guys that are going to be in contention. Is there anyone around that middle of the board that makes sense to you this week, Jeff?
Yeah, I mean, guys, that's really where I'm going to live. The guys that I'm playing between, 15 to 30 to 1, really. Primary guys, really. I mean, Tommy Fleetwood. Guys, I think Tommy Fleetwood's the second best player in the world right now. And that might sound like a hot, but I honestly believe that. Playing a winner without, you can find him, in that 18 to 1 range. I like Tommy Fleetwood a lot. I think he's a great top five at plus 350. Talk about course history and consistency. Patrick Cantlay has been amazingly consistent. You can find him around 22 to 1. I think he's a great outright play and a top 10 play, which is where I played him, but my biggest bet. Siwoo Kim is kind of in that middle range, right, too. He's in that 25 to 1 price range without Scotty. That Siwoo Kim, would you believe this? Siwoo Kim in the last 100 rounds is the number one tee to green player on the PGA Tour, better than Scotty Scheffler.
Wow.
A lot of people don't realize that. So, I mean, that's how poor his putting's been, if that tells you anything.
Yeah.
So, Siwoo's been, he's been unbelievable ball striking wise. So he's a guy, again, I like in that middle range. And then one other guy I think makes a lot of sense from if you're pure modeling and form over course history, hasn't played great here, but I like Matt Fitzpatrick as well. He's in that sub 30 range. And another guy that I played outright in and I played a top 20 on.
What should we make of a guy like Colin Morikawa, who, you know, finally gets the monkey off of his back this past weekend? You could sense the relief and the tears, obviously, after making that final putt on 18 a week ago. Is he someone you think we can see carry that over a little bit into a weekend like this, or how do you view him?
No, I think Morikawa is very much in play. For whatever reason, every time I play him, I miss the good Morikawa moments every time. So I'm not going to try to chase him right now. But man, certainly you see that when someone breaks through, or breaks through again, if you will, how they can get hot. We've seen it with Chris Goddard up lately, right? I mean, the guy just seems to be catching fire in a lot of these tournaments. With Morikawa, I think a lot of his confidence. His results here have been very good. T19, T6, T2, his last three trips. So I can certainly see playing Morikawa, but I just opted for guys, the Cantlays and Siwoo Kims, rather than Morikawa this week. But you could certainly make a case for him.
Jeff, let's talk bombs. That's the fun stuff. Those are the big hitters. You just want one to be live, right? Going in the final round, and then you could do something sure. Here. Would a guy like Tony Finau make sense? 121-1 overall, but maybe a 6-1 on him to finish in the top 10. He's gotten off to a pretty solid start this year. Are there other bombs that you're looking at deep down the board?
Yeah, is a good one. And he had somehow gained 8 strokes putting here last week. So, I mean, that's one of those things that you're probably never going to see again, because a Tony Finau usually comes down to putting. So I don't mind a Tony Finau here at all as a bomb. One of my favorites over 50-1 is Pearson Coody. He's been unbelievable. Guys, when you look at Pearson Coody, over the last 8 months, he's played 12 PGA Tour events. He has 3 top fives, a top 10, and 4 top 20s in 12 events. That is unbelievable. I don't think we're going to see him north of 50-1 for long. So he's the guy that I'm laddering top 30 all the way up to top 10 with some of the outright. He's not a super bomb, but I certainly one you can look at. And then my guy, Tom Hollywood Hoagie, 220-1 this week. And I think he really is a course history guy. Finished T14 last week at Pebble Beach, where he's had success in the past. Now we find him an event where he has back-to-back top 20s in his last two trips. So I think Hoagie's a guy you could look at. I think he's a really good first-round leader play. I played him round one top 5 on DraftKings at 17-1. I think that's a really interesting play. You can find him top 20 at plus 350. And then I threw $10 on his outright at 220-1 just in case. But Tom Hoagie is always a fun guy early on to fire as a bomb.
To follow up on that, before we let you go, any other derivative markets, you know, top 20s, top 10s, or round one leaders that you want to make sure you get out there?
The only other one I might mention that you look at first round, he's going to be certainly lower on the board, but Cam Young is always a really good candidate for that. And then as you're kicking around, it's getting around Masters time. So as you're building out your parlay, start adding Scottie Scheffler Masters in to plug those in. And along with your whatever college basketball game you're going to bet tonight, as Dustin mentioned earlier, you can make this like your 401k that you can cash in April instead of 410 months later.
And we already know Dustin's going to pair it with the Dodgers.
There you go. I just found Scotty to win one of the majors at minus 165, or I'll do the Masters. I'll mix that in. So it's Scotty, it's the Dodgers, it's UConn women's basketball minus 500. That is the triumphant we're beginning every big parlay with.
Let's go.
I got it right here. It's Scotty Masters, Dodgers, UConn women is 17-1 on DraftKings.
Oh, let's roll. Come on. That's the play.
Jeff, you're the man. Thank you so much for the time. We appreciate it.
Thanks, guys. Take care.
Jeff Seeley. Again, make sure you check out the Cutmaker podcast. You can follow him on X as well, at Cutmaker Jeff. We're locked and loaded.
See, this is the problem when you start doing the Mitch and Paul pizzeria segment. You start building. Yeah.
We're just percolating. You know, we've got the ideas.
And it's no different than any other parlay. Everyone knows the rule of parlays. If you place a parlay, when it does lose, it will lose by one.
Obviously.
It's never the last leg. It's always like the third leg. So then you go back and revisit it and go,
Dustin,
we had something.
The arguments my father and I get into, because he'll follow my plays and I'll go 3-4 on the day.
Yeah.
And he'll be like, oh, almost had it, Storm. And I'm like, what do you mean? I went 3-1. He's like, yeah, but I put them all together. You don't have to do that.
No, come on.
We'll be right back. Speaking of which, win some, lose some after a quick timeout.
Win. Win Some, Lose Some is sponsored by the Sharp Plays.
Were you a winner last night?
Wow, winning.
Or was it a rough one?
Well, they can't all be winners, can they?
Loser! You're a loser!
Molly Howard recaps the night in sports betting in Win Some, Lose Some.
Holly Howard out for one more day. Stormy Bonnet, Tony Dustin Sweetelson in for the guys. Let's start with the win some, starting in college hoops. How about San Jose State in the Mountain West with a money line 5-1 win, upsetting Nevada 87-71. Wolfpack took money too as a double-digit favorite.
If you're betting the Mountain West in basketball this year and you're winning money, send me your picks, because I literally think I'm like 2-50 betting on Mountain West team. I cannot figure that. UNLV
like
is
who
one.
Who is good? Who is good UNLV, other than Utah State?
Whenever I fade UNLV, they step up, which is not that often. Often, whenever I go against it, I can't do anything right with the teams in this league right now. They've lost a little bit of luster with the new NIL world.
We'll get to another Mountain West team in a little bit, but for now, how about Rhode Island plus 450? They beat St. Louis 81-76. Billikens dropped their first conference game of the season. That was one of a couple court storms yesterday. Another, how about ASU? Obvious letdown spot for Texas Tech coming off the big win at Arizona. I said take the points, but I mean money line. How about that?
Yeah, for old Bobby Hurley, a lot of chatter about his future there in Tempe. That win does help the old resume when you walk into the boss's office and go, how do you like them apples? I'm staying for next year.
Northern Illinois plus 380 at Buffalo. They win 72-70, and this was the other Mountain West team. Grand Canyon plus 320 at SDSU. They win 73-63. I told JVT yesterday, you cannot trust San Diego State to cover any number when they are against a relatively good team. They beat up on the little guys. They kill the teams that they're supposed to. But when you play a team with a pulse, they can't get it done.
I don't understand the universe we're living in. San Diego State has an offense, yet they're not just killing everyone in that league. They finally have a legitimate offense that can score the basketball, yet they're not the most dominant team in the Mountain West. Make that make sense.
I remember a Mountain West tournament game where the total was like, I think 128. And it went under because that, but that's not them anymore. So keep that in mind. Georgia beating Kentucky plus 250 on the money line, 86-78 final there. Wildcats maybe still hungover from the loss of Florida, dropping back-to-back games now, struggling in SEC play.
Georgia needed it though. Georgia is a dog, a team I'm looking to back. Georgia as a favorite, I'm not necessarily looking to lay the points with, but Bubblicious team, big win on the road in Lexington. They add that to the resume.
SMU plus 170 over number 21 Louisville by 10. Kansas State against Baylor, plus 160 cashing on the money line. Fired coach bump?
So here's the deal. Initially, my thought is, yes, that's what that is. That's not what it is. Why would they want to play for Jerome Tang and step up after him when after he literally said these guys stink, they won't be on the team next year? Instead of a fired coach bump, it's more of a assistant coach promoted bump.
Okay.
And they want to make the assistant coach look good. They definitely don't want to make Jerome Tang look like he recruited the right guys. He said they all stink. Yeah.
Dropped 6 straight and 11-12 prior to yesterday. They were 4 or so point dog and get the win over Baylor. NC State bet out from 6 to 8.5 against UNC. They win just in clobbering fashion, but that'll happen when the Tar Heels don't have two of their best players.
Yeah, I mean, the Caleb Wilson thing, it's one thing against Pitt. It's another thing against a Wolfpack team that can shoot the ball beyond the arc. I'm curious about NC State come March just because Will Wade's been through this before. That is a new group playing together. Maybe they could be a team that wins a few games once we get into the dance.
Ohio State goes from pick'em to -1.5 against Wisconsin. Dominant win, 86-69. And then we talked about Michigan-Purdue already, but we didn't mention the total. Bet up from 151.5 to 156.5. Final falls, I mean, way over.
Not even close.
91-80. I mean,
you were just chilling watching the end of that game. That's what happens when the road team shows up and hits 57% of their threes.
Okay, got a cruise here. Lots of Olympic action on the win some as well. Michaela Schifrin wins gold in her signature event, women's slalom. You nod your head. You don't know what I'm talking about.
Yeah, if you say so, that's what happens.
Why is this big? Because she hasn't won since Sochi when she was 18 years old, yet she's so decorated. 71 World Cup wins. Hadn't won gold again in the Olympics since back then. So this is massive for her to get it. Let's go to the hockey, though. Czechia, a massive underdog against Canada, had a 2-1 lead after the first period, plus 320 on the first period money line there. Canada was laying $5. Canada money line live, we talked about this earlier, plus 260. They get the win in overtime, 4-3, and that over 6.5 comes through. Macklin Celebrini, your first goal scorer, plus 750. Definitely a win some, especially since he leads the tournament in goals scored to this point. point at 19 years old. In the game for Germany and Slovakia early, a 14-1 first goal scorer in Pavel Rejenda. He had two and an assist in the 6-2 win for the Slovakians. Dylan Larkin. So I don't have this on the graphic, but Team USA up 1-0 here after two. Dylan Larkin, 35-1 to have the first goal scored. Let's go out to Aria real quickly here, where Jack 10 Clubs tells us nothing like flopping the nuts and turning a royal flush against aces. How about that?
They told me if I make comments about flopping the nuts here at VEASAN again, I'm going to get suspended.
Well, just look at the picture and notice the exact card you need for the turn for the royal flush. Hey, there you go.
Good for that guy. He's going to share the wealth.
I would love it. Please sign me up. Meanwhile, video poker, I would like some of the Mitch Moss wealth here. And maybe he's going to have to pay taxes a little bit less often, because with the tax reporting threshold on video poker getting bumped up from $1,200 to $2,000, Circa has also upgraded their progressives as such to $2,000.
Oh,
or a dollar shy, obviously.
So you get to hide a little money from the government
from
there.
From Uncle Sam. Let's get to the Lose Some. Nebraska money line, even money against Iowa, one of the more popular bets of the day. They lose 57-52. Back to the ASU-Texas Tech game. Total goes from 154 to 157 and a half, falls well under in the 130s. Miami out from 8 to 9.5-point favorites against Virginia Tech. They win by one. More on this game in a moment. Texas from 9.5 to 11 against LSU, a 3-point win for them. LSU-Texas for the total is well, 156 to 149 and a half. Nevada, we mentioned it, 9.5 out to 11.5 against San Jose State. They lose 87-71, struggling, drop three of their last four. Checky on the money line, 8-1. You thought you might get it against Canada. No such luck, my friends. And how about this from our boy Kelly Bidlin at the gas station yesterday? $278.32 for whoever was before him at the pump. What are you filling up?
An airplane?
Is that multiple cars that go through?
No, that feels like someone who knows the end of the world is coming and they're gassing up their generators to live in their bunker for the next 6 months. Like, gas prices, this is not a political, gas prices aren't that bad right now, okay?
Yeah.
Like,
I have premium in my mid-size SUV.
Oh, you're bougie.
I am.
Yeah.
I have become bougie.
I mean, your car kind of dictates what you have to put inside of it. I drive a Kia.
The first time I've had a vehicle with premium gas.
Okay. I drive a Kia. It takes the old regular. It doesn't do that well with it, but it does enough.
So what's your typical fill-up?
50, 60 bucks.
Okay. That's what I'm saying. So that is ridiculous. That makes no sense.
I don't even understand what you're, that's a semi-truck.
Or more. I have no idea. Maybe a boat. Yeah. That's what Justin said in our ear.
Yeah.
Maybe a boat.
I guess it's 72 gallons.
Or what? Maybe a dad filling up for he and his daughter, both in Hummers that have been discontinued.
What vehicles hold 72 gallons of gas? See, I put this out on Twitter. You could kill the plot of every movie made before the year 2000 with smartphones. Google does the same here. Aftermarket long-range tanks was the first thing that came up. This is not a good sign.
Okay, let's go to the bad beats here. Virginia Tech 3-1 on the money line against Miami. We mentioned Miami getting bet out as a big favorite. Virginia Tech held the lead for nearly 60% of this game. They were up 3 with just over a minute to go. Two missed shots in the final 40 seconds. Only got to the line for 3 free throw attempts in this one, too, to Miami's 13. Also, a bad beat for Buffalo Wing Truthers. In a 10-page ruling in Illinois, the U.S. District Judge declared Buffalo Wild Wings can continue to call their popular boneless wings wings, even though they're, quote, essentially chicken nuggets.
It's first of all, grow up. You eat it with the bone in. And also, if you want to be a real adult, you eat flats, not drums. Flats.
Yeah, flats are better. They're better.
There's crispier wing or crispier skin, which absorbs the sauce better. I'm an expert on this. You want to ask me about betting? I'm 50-50 at best. You want to ask me about food? I got you 100% of the time.
Although some people are going to hate me. Ranch over blue cheese.
But here's the hot take about Buffalo Wild Wings. I have gone to Buffalo Wild Wings in 5 or 6 different states. I have never once had good service at one, but I will always go back because the mango habanero is fire.
Okay. Last one here. Mick Cronin ejecting his own player for a game. Not only had I not seen this before, neither had Tom Izzo.
I felt for Mick. His team's a lot better than that. And I guess he upgraded that to a flagrant too, huh? That's the first time I saw a coach do it. But that sounds like Mick. So he'll get that straightened out. And
Stephen Jamerson, former MSU student, by the way. You gone.
You know when a coach is in trouble? When the other coaches start stumping for their future. Yeah. right when they start saying he'll get it figured out. Don't give up on him, UCLA. That's how you know you're down bad.
UCLA dropping consecutive games by 20 plus points now for the first time since when? 1944-45 season, according to Sports Radar. As the college hoops grind continues, this is, by the way, the time that real bettors find an edge. Dozens of games a night, constant line movement, and opportunity for anyone who knows where to look. You're not going to beat billion-dollar sports books or full-time sharps on your own. But get this, with the Sharp Plays, you don't have to. Powered by advanced AI, connected to insider sources. Sharp Plays highlights sharp action, key numbers, and market shifts before the public catches up. You get free daily reports, real-time alerts, public logs, and transparent results all since 2011. SharpPlays.com. Trusted by the pros, monitored by the books. Own the boards this college basketball season at SharpPlays.com. Resetting for hour two of the program coming up after this. Lots of NFL news, especially with the franchise tag window opening. Some people restructuring contracts. I'm looking at you, Patrick Mahomes. A lot to get to coming up next.